So, we were in Ephesians 6, and I want to wrap that up this week. That's my goal. That's my desire. See if the Lord's plan is different. So, we were dealing with the armor, and we're in Ephesians 6. We're doing from verse 13 to verse 17, but we covered the helmet of salvation. Your head is covered with salvation. Your belt is the belt of truth. And I was prayerfully trying to understand why truth was around your waist. It's like I thought the truth would be on your heart, on your breastplate, but it's around your waist. Salvation was on your head. And truth was on your waist. Now, in my mind, I thought the helmet would be truth. Like you would receive the truth, you know. You understand my logic, right? And God began to show me something. Your brain does not receive salvation or truth. It's what they call your heart. Or The Amplifier says the belt, but the King James says your loins. Then it started to make a little more sense to me. Your loins, your sensitive area, trying to stay adult friendly here. There's no kids in the room. But, you know, if you ever been around any male, anything that looks like a threat to that area is met like this, right? Playing baseball, anything is a natural reaction because that's a vulnerable area. It needs to be protected. And so I understood truth in your loins, but then I also understood something else. When we talk about I had a feeling in my gut. You ever get that? It's just this feeling in my gut. And they always do this. It's not here. It's here. It's this feeling in here. So when it talks about our heart, it's not talking about the beating heart. It's talking about the sensitive area, that area inside of you that you know. It holds your food. It's where your birth take place, where your birthing tools are. How am I doing? Your stuff, your junk, it's protected with truth. And so I begin to think about that, begin to think about truth in my loins, in my gut, in my being, in the area of my body where creation comes from. And I started thinking about that. Life and death is in my tongue, but it comes from my loins, out of the innermost part of me, is the understanding. Because we say heart, but come on, you know no thoughts come out of your heart. There's no feelings or emotions in your heart. Your heart pumps blood and you bleed. You experience something from somewhere else. Can somebody relate to what I'm saying? Let's just take a minute, just a moment. Just think about something right now that really is important to you and tell me if you're feeling it in here or in here. I don't want to push my thought on you, but humor me. When you feel something that moves you emotionally, your knees get weak. It's not in your heart. It's in your loins. It's in your innermost parts, the Bible calls it. So I understood why the belt of truth had to protect guard your heart with all diligence, your inner core. You know, people tell you all the time, if you don't develop a strong core, you can't work out and do anything right. Your core, they tell you, your core holds you together. People come to me and say, you know, I'm getting older, I'm having back pains, and I've had this conversation because I've trained enough, and I go, it's not your back. It's your lack of stomach. Your back hurts because the thing that's supposed to support it and hold it up is hanging over and is weak and it has no muscle tone. So now your back is now forced to try to hold something that is not supposed to hold. Your abdomen is supposed to support your back and hold your movements and control your turns and twists. Come on, somebody. You want less back pain? Start developing your abs. Your back will then fall into place. You know, I don't know if that helps somebody, but there you have it. Or you could take a bunch of pills and just let that weight continue to press against your spine and your disc pushing on each other. All that's because your core is not supporting you. Somebody know what I'm talking about? How many of you know I'm telling the truth? Okay, so now let's think about this. This core, this loins, this belt of truth in the area where our force comes from. If you're a fighter, they tell you, twist your hip and hit and bring your abs into it. You know, when you kick, you all of this is here. Why am I making a big deal out of this? Because we overlook it. We talk about the heart as the beating part. But the truth is, who you are and everything you are, and even you trying to stand strong and flex, come on, do that with me too. Just try to do the little macho, the muscle man. You feel it right in here, don't you? That's your core. That has truth around it. That's what the Bible's talking about. And I've been praying about this season because this is important. It sounds like simple stuff, but it's important stuff to me. You know, we talked about what's important and the things we overlook that we realize are more important, like God promising streams of water flowing. And we may look at that and go, yeah, because you got water in your faucet. Yeah, but let that be interrupted. And you'll be looking with all your heart for a stream before you'll be looking for a McDonald's. You follow what I'm saying? That God has begun to teach me there are things that you've accepted as important, but in the grand scheme of things, they're not. You don't have any water, you won't be thinking about your car, your furniture, or your flat screen. You'll go high and dry and sell everything you own to get that cup of water. So value in things that we just overlook. And when God began to say to me, but from where the belt is, the belt of truth, your loins, this is the force of your life. This is where your strength comes from. So I've been paying attention to this. Lord, help me say this the way I need to say it. I've been noticing when I pray now and I begin to feel a stir where I'm feeling it. And it's not in my chest. When you get that thing, when you want to go, my hush, da, 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 it doesn't come from here. It comes from that shout. When you shout at the top of your lungs, glory, you feel that here. Yes? So I've been paying attention to that now. Lord, I've been trying to search my heart to feel things and wonder, God, I don't want. God said, because you're searching here, but it comes from. Come on now, preach it. You follow me? So from the innermost part, so God is teaching me, no, search for me in your core. I'm in your innermost being. The real power of my spirit doesn't come from what beats. It comes from where the spirit resides. It's not a physical place that you can cut open and see, but doggone it, you can feel it. So that's why the belt of truth is around your loins, it's around your waist. And then you can deal with what comes in through salvation. Salvation comes through the word spoken to you and the reception of it. And you receive that, but then the manifestation of new life is already alive in your innermost part. It can then feed the brain. Let me explain that to you. Thoughts come at you from the outside and the inside. Am I getting too deep today? Is anybody saying you need to talk about something else? Is somebody being blessed by so far where we are? Okay, good. Thoughts come at you from two directions. They come at you in your mind, yes, through conversations and things you've heard on TV and things people say and stuff, right? And then there's those thoughts that come from inside of you. There's those thoughts that have been either planted there over time by things that you've heard and been taught, But then there's that, what you say, that voice, that inner voice that speaks to you in your core. And you say, something told me. Even people that don't know the Lord say, something told me not to go there. I felt inside myself. But my mind disagreed with my core. And I went with my mind. And now I regret it. Somebody in this room know that feeling other than me? Because the mind is not supposed to be stimulated from without. It gathers information from without, but it's supposed to check it against what's within. So when outside stimuli comes at me, and I don't like to get political, and I'm not trying to bash the president one way or another. I have no feeling about him one way or another. I mean, when he does something I feel is stupid, I say, this guy is a jerk. And then I go, no, he's not. He's president. Somebody going to disagree with me. But he jerked his way right into the most powerful position on the planet. There's a lot more strategic logic to this, what looks like madness and stupidity, than we want to accept. Okay? Everybody wants to simplify it and say he got lucky. No, I believe all the noise and all the stuff and all the shock stuff and all the shock moves and the shock values are the old ways to divert from what's really going on and what the real agenda is. And him and his people are very aware of what they're doing. Very aware of it. I'm not trying to turn this to a political conversation. I'm just trying to say this. It's like, I'm doing this, and while you're doing this, I'm picking your pocket. Because we are so moved by outside stimuli, the devil is consistently picking our spiritual pockets. He's getting us to focus on what appeals to the eye and not be in tune to what's happening in the realm of the spirit. So those distractions, those things. Remember when we did be vigilant, for the enemy walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and we broke down each word and we found out the enemy coming out as a roaring lion seeking whom devour was the word to seduce, to get you, and it said be sober. The word sober was to be dispassionate, to be unemotionally attached or moved by things, because the enemy seeks to seduce. So devour is not attack you and rip you up, but to lure you away with things that appeal. So it said, be sober. Don't let your emotions be detached. Don't let yourself get so caught up. Be dispassionate. That's the word sober. Be dispassionate. So the passions and stuff come through the eyes. They meditate and roam around in the mind, and then they seek to take control. Yes, the carnal mind is enmity, the Bible says, against God. It's God's enemy. The logical thought process is God's enemy. Yet, I would say 99.8 of us live by the pull and the tug of the carnal mind. And those of us who attempt to walk by the Spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Come on, hear me out here. Be with me. I'm talking about the armor. Even though we attempt to, we've been miseducated of where that gift or anointing or leading actually comes from. Right? So if it feels bad emotionally, it's not God. If it feels good emotionally, it is God. And both of those are incorrect. It's a leading that goes against logic. When God tells Moses to walk up to the Red Sea and strike it with a stick, I didn't see anywhere else in the Bible where that was a thing. You understand what I'm saying? He was telling him to do something that went against everything that was normally and religiously accepted as truth. Are you hearing me today? So when God says to you, throw your stick down, he didn't know his stick would turn into a snake and eat up their snakes. He just knew that God told him to do something. You need to stay with me here. Because the average Christian would have said Moses is a witch too, because his stick turned into a snake, so he ain't of the Lord. But God told him to do something that was just, they tried to do what he did, and the same, the look of it comes out looking just the same. And God said, but how can I move you in the supernatural when you've already concluded that the natural is the only thing that could be right? And those are the feelings that don't come from here. Those are not the feelings that come from here. Those are those feelings that come from here. Those leadings that you took, that everything inside of you and everybody around you disagreed with, but you did it, and God showed up. How are we doing today? See, so I'm learning, as I'm teaching you, again, I'm learning again, that God likes to take the foolish things and confound the wise. I don't want to work with what you always comfortable with. I'm going to say something here that's going to just may toss you a little bit, but you'll be blessed by it. Amen? God brings you to the place of comfort so that you are stable to launch. So if you're struggling in this area and God brings you to a place of stability in that area, it's not for you to park your car and stay. It's for you to plant your feet to get ready for the next jump. You're understanding me today. You shook your head no, so I'm going to talk. Have you ever been in a place in your life where it was tumultuous and you couldn't figure out what the next step was? Everybody can say yes to that. You pray and you ask God, and God just brought this calm. Mm-hmm. Things may not all turned around the way you wanted them yet, but it's good. The depression ain't what it used to be. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now I can go on and live my life. No. Now you take that period of time, and you use that to prepare yourself for the next move. Let me give it to you scripturally. There was a man, a king. He looked around. He said, I got everything I want. I'll stuff my barns with everything, and I'll just say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry, for you have everything you need. And the spirit said to him, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Or was you going to die tonight? Who going to have all your stuff now? So God said, I didn't give you this position for you to sit on your laurels and rest. I put you in a situation of peace, whatever that time is, to give you a place to brace up so you can take the next bound. God is a God of great opportunity. And every time he gives you a place to stand, that place, I just pray for my boss to just to stop bothering me, and praise the Lord I came in and he said good morning. Okay, Ed. So now you want to work there for the next 20 years so you get your pension, huh? Maybe. Or maybe God gave you that peace so now you can begin to make that next move, what that next move is. Well, I don't know what the next move is. Well, asking you should receive. Seeking you should find. Knocking the door should be open. You have not because you ask not. Every time God moves for me, I'm always, people say, wow, Pastor, you look for every, you find a way to turn everything into money or a business. I'm like, because I'm always looking to see what God is doing next.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm always looking. Always looking. And I'll come to people and they're going, yeah. And then it works and they go, how did you do that? I told you 2 years ago. You were trying to figure out how to get comfortable. I was trying to show you how I was getting ready to launch. Well, so thoughts come two ways, through the senses or through the leading. And when the thoughts come to the senses, if you focus more on your senses, are you listening to me? Then that's what leads you. That's what leads you. They dominate you and they lead you. You will get to the place, if you pay so much attention to your senses, that your senses will rebuke the Holy Spirit within you. See, that's when you start getting to the place where the Bible, where the Lord says there's only one sin that can't be forgiven. And that's the sin of what? Blaspheming the Holy Ghost. When you get to the place where you just shut the Holy Spirit down, you've become so enraged with your own leadings, your own emotions, your own pushes, your own drive, that God can't even speak to you no more. Am I talking today? I don't know what it is about when we get older, we start to really figure out what's more important. But we start to figure it out. Like, you know what? I done this wrong for so long, and the outcome has been the same so much. I'm ready to surrender. So, the thoughts come in. And, wow, wouldn't you know it, the salvation helmet, the block, is on the head. Isn't that what the helmet is for? To protect the head? Isn't that what it's for? Isn't that what it's for? So he's saying salvation, your deliverance, is protecting what comes in through that head, through those eyes. The head is protected. Truth is in the loins, protection on the head. Let yourself be spoken through your loins and not through your head. Men, don't take that literally. Because a lot of men are spoken through their loins. I don't mean that way. Okay. Amen. Okay. Not one brother said amen. Not one. I don't know. I'm going to need deliverance. So you're with me, right? Now, then you take the righteousness of the breastplate. Now, that protects the heart. Because that's where life is. So let's take that. So we're taking a heart and we're protecting it with right standing. So truth is coming from your loins. Your head is protected from the world and the thoughts of the world with the helmet. Salvation's in the helmet. Let's just talk about salvation real quick before I jump to that real quick, because I just realized something that I left out. You're like, Pastor, how are you doing this without notes? Because God and I had the notes. We sat down, we discussed this conversation, we had this conversation. Now watch this. Helmet of salvation. Let's just, real quick, this is a quick one. But let's make sure we understand the word salvation. Because that's another word that's sorely misused amongst Christians. I'm saved. What does that mean? When I die, I'm going to heaven. That is not the definition of salvation. That is not the definition. It's in the definition, but it's not the definition. Salvation is deliverance from that would hurt, kill, or destroy. It would hurt, harm you. Salvation is if you somewhere and somebody's got you trapped with a gun and somebody comes and rescues you, that was salvation. They saved you. Salvation is deliverance from what anything that would bring harm or cause destruction. So when he says the helmet of salvation is not talking about being saved because you're already in Christ and now he's giving you a uniform to put on. So we're not talking about salvation meaning eternal life after you die. We're talking about salvation to stand here. It said put on the full armor so that you can stand. So this is for you to stand here. So this helmet of salvation has nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This is the equipment he's given you after you've accepted him and joined his army to stand. Are we clear? So this helmet of salvation is not about, so I'm saved when I die, because you don't get saved in the head. This is a protection or a deliverance from all things that may bring something to you that's evil or negative or against the will of God for your life. That's what the helmet is, just so we understand that. We're not talking about salvation of the soul because you in the spirit because you were dead in sin. That's covered if you get in this uniform. Amen. Amen. That uniform is for the saved. Are we good now? Are you learning something? Now, so let's get back now to this breastplate, because this breastplate now protects the vital areas, the heart. It's protection. It's protection. Guard your heart with all diligence. It's protection. So this breastplate is though very important and very interesting to me as I began to look at the breakdown of it, because it's not the breastplate of salvation. So I wanted to believe that it protects your heart and keeps your heart pure. And it's like, no, but it's the breastplate of righteousness. So I put things in this context and put things the way it's supposed to be. Well, righteousness is not something that you get by your own works. Righteousness comes from Christ being saved and accepting Christ as Savior. Righteousness means what? Thank you, babies, for listening. Right standing with God. Or right standing with God comes from what? No. Faith is just saying faith is not an answer. Right standing with God comes from what? Say it again. Having a relationship with Jesus. God, keep talking. Seeking and walking with him. No, that's not correct. That's not righteousness. Absolutely not. And I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people think that. Believe me, they do. What is righteousness? How do you obtain righteousness? Somebody said it. But through faith in what? She said faith too, but I think you're trying to be so deep that you're just skipping right over the obvious. Faith in what? Accepting Christ as your Savior. Faith in that. Not saying faith in Jesus. A lot of people walk around saying they got faith in Jesus and they ain't saved. Correct? They having not accepted Christ as Savior. They believe Jesus was a mighty prophet, and we believe we want to be Christ-like and live like the Lord without ever accepting Christ as Savior. So it's not faith in Jesus. It's faith in what? Come on. No, not faith in Jesus' deity. You're still trying to be or deep. See, this is a good conversation to have with Christians, because you'd be surprised how many people just miss it. Once I say it, you're going to go, oh, duh. Boom! Salvation and what? I need more. Faith and salvation. I mean, it's like you're right at the door, and I'm just like, come on, somebody just turn the knob, please. Thank you, my wife. Faith in the price that Jesus paid for our eternal life. That's where righteousness comes from. She said, faith in Jesus. Okay, faith in salvation. What does that mean? Faith in the fact that the promise God made that Jesus would come and die for your sins, and as a result of that, you would have life eternal and be accepted at his own. The whole transaction. We bought in to the lifetime membership in the timeshare with Jesus. You got it? We got in. And then we build and develop our downlines, whatever. But we got in. You follow me now? That's what our faith is in. Let's make sure we understand that. I'll stay on this for the rest of the message if I don't think you got it. Our faith is not in Jesus. That's not a full answer. That's like you saying, I trust. You trust what? I just trust. It's not answering my question. I trust things. I can't stand when people say, I love people. What the heck does that mean? That means nothing. That's a general statement that has no attachment or connection whatsoever. Your faith is not in Jesus, and then you picture the white guy with blue eyes walking around. That's not it. I have faith in the Jesus TV show I saw last night. None of that's faith. Faith has to be in something. Your faith is in the fact that he came to a sinful nation and died for your sins. Hold up. And stayed there for 3 days and paid the penalty, and then rose on the third day, and then went before the Father and laid your sins down before him and said, I paid the price for them, and through me, they have access to you. If you don't have faith in that, you don't have faith. You don't have faith. You got it now? So when you say I have faith in Jesus, you need to be clear in yourself what your faith is. When I pray, I don't say, Father, in the name of Jesus, like, please hear me out. I'm calling out to you with all my heart in the name of Jesus. Come on, help a brother, please. I already know. No, this is my access. I can walk into your presence. Oh, my God. Remember when God hid Elijah in the cleft? You can't see me and live. So he had to see his back go by because no man can stand before me and live. But then Jesus came and paid the price and gave us a new right standing or righteousness that we can see him and live. Amen. I went to church and I accepted Jesus. You accepted what about Jesus? I accept him as Lord, my Lord and Savior. What does it mean? What's the full package? What are the benefits that go with this package? Eternal life, but hold up, you got a will and testament, a book written, a document written that the scripture says that doesn't mean anything or has no force as long as the testator lives. As long as the writer's alive, you have no access to the benefits. But once the writer dies, then you have full access to everything that was left in the will and testament. So Jesus came, he had it written even before he walked the earth. He wrote this full document of all the benefits and pluses and minuses. And this is how it works, and this is how it don't work. And this is what bank is in. Don't go to that bank because they ain't going to have it for you. And he broke it down, and then he laid down his life so that it would take force. Do you all have a new understanding of salvation today? Wave a hand at me. See, your salvation is powerful. So when we talk about covenant and when we talk about these things, I don't want it because it's Jesus. And now I'm going to sing a song for Jesus. Now I'm going to do a dance for Jesus. And Jesus is like, look, I don't need all of that mess. Are you trying to impress me? Do a dance because you understand so much what I've done for you that just makes you want to dance. You just feel like you got to sing because you're just so filled. You understand what I'm saying? But I got emotional when I cried when I danced. So what? We're not talking about emotions right now. We're talking about what comes from here. I know I'm preaching good. I can feel it in my loins. So now, we got that, right? So the breastplate covers and protects, but that has nothing to do with you. That has to do with the right standing that came to accepting Christ. So the heart is protected as long as truth is in place and the protection is on the head that you're not letting the world control. And then he said, and then I got your heart. Now, it's important. The breastplate covering. And it also covers part of this. The breastplate covers this. It covers. It says breastplate, but the breastplate, if you ever seen one, it comes all the way down. So it's the belt is right underneath it. They touch each other. So I just believe they work together. Now, this heart protection. So you got to know truth. You will know the, and the truth will make you. You know the, and truth will make you. You didn't catch it. You know the, and truth will make you. Got it? Got it? Now, so this piece in the middle, which is bigger than this and this, is a position of righteousness that only comes from the fact that Christ gave his life for you. So it's bigger than every other piece on you, my God. Anything else you're wearing, it's bigger, but it's right standing. So the big picture here is right standing, and right standing comes from accepting Christ, not what you've done, how much you prayed, how many times you fasted, how many times you did this, how many times you go to church, and how many times you said Hail Mary or whatever. He said, no, that's all about one thing and one thing only, and that's the thing we covered today, and I won't go through it again. Knowing what your righteousness is. And when you go home today, and as you're walking, I know you will, it ain't going to get away from you in this week, I want you to sit down and rehearse with yourself why you're righteous, what your faith is in, what you learned today. Think about it. Meditate on it, the Bible says. Talk about it. Let it get down into the core of your being. So when you go before God to pray next time, you're already going to know, I'm not praying my way in. I got to pray. I pray until the heavens open. Really? You have to do all that to get the heavens open? I just walk in. I have right standing. The word says I do. And every time I feel myself needing to put in, I go, no, 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 no. There's nothing I can say or do to get me in here. It's what Jesus did that gets me here. That's righteousness. I'm righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the word said. I am the righteousness of God. It didn't even say I'm the righteousness of Jesus. It said I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus. I don't know if you all caught that. Let me see. If you're in Jesus and you walk in the place in the spirit that his word promises is your place to walk in, I say if you're totally behaving and doing everything right, because if you really walk in this place, you will behave and do it right. Trust me. It's not a struggle to do right when you know who you are and where you're standing. It's just not hard to do at all. I'm just telling you. Aren't you tempted sometimes? I ain't tempted by that stuff no more. The more I walk with the Lord, it's like, no, those are not things. I don't know. These are not things I battle with. I remember being a Christian and saying, God, I'm doing my best to be a Christian because I know I'm supposed to. With no connection to who I was or why I was doing it. Now, don't look at me like I'm the only one. Some of you are sitting right here right now, and that's where you still are. But I finally came to the realization, you know what, God? This is a good deal. This is a good deal. You hooked up a good pack. This is the best benefits package I've ever seen in my life. All I need, come on now. So all I need to do. Welcome back, Sister Linda. Listen, let me just say, no, spot on. Good retirement package. I'm going to tell you something. Just knowing that you really painstakingly in detail laid out this plan for me. Woo! That you, oh my goodness. And you didn't just say, I'm saved in Jesus. You actually had a system in line. Made it a situation where I cannot lose. And that's why Satan got in church and started telling the pastors to tell people, yeah, but God got to put you through stuff and everything. Start trying everything to degrade the package. To make you think that God's really not as all that he said he is. Now, some of you may not like me for saying this, and you know, that don't matter to me too much. But let me just tell you this. When I hear those messages, I always think about Satan and what he said to Eve in the garden. Isn't that what he said? Has God really said? Yep. Yep. He knows that when you do this. So immediately he began to challenge them in who they were and make them question what God promised. Watch. He said, for he knows if you eat of this tree, you shall be like God. So basically he's keeping something from you. And he's trying to keep you from the realization that you could be like God. And got them to believe and go against God for something they already had. They were already like God. Scripture said they were made in the image and likeness of God. So they were already like God. And he convinced them that they didn't have something that already belonged to them. So church people say, well, the Lord helps those who help themselves. Right. A way to convince you to fight for something that's already yours in your own strength and your own power without God. Listen, we're taking you to school, man. This is meat. This is meat. Milk church, somewhere else. This is meat church. Somebody say, this is meat church. We're going to learn how to stand and walk. God promised this would be the year of ease. Then we need all our tools. How many of you have been experiencing so far that this is the year of ease? You've been watching the eases. Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. That's good. I take those numbers. Now, so the breastplate and the whole thing that covers our heart and everything now is just based on the salvation that he paid for. And I could preach that. I could pull up scriptures and preach that for the next 4 months. But for the sake of staying on message, I'm just going to make the point one more time. The salvation package covers everything. This outfit that you're being given, again, is not to fight the devil. is so that you can stand. If you read the very second verse, it says that you put on the full armor that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. You didn't fight them. It says stand. 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 Well, what am I supposed to do? Stand. You got to retreat sometime. I wouldn't do that if I were you, because none of this armor covers the back, so you ain't supposed to be running. All of it's in the front, so I think you should just stand. After having done all, to stand. Well, so let's do this. Let's keep this going. Then we get to the shield, which is where we left off, of faith. Watch this. I'm not reading it. I'm going from the head. Which quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. Not some, not a few, but all. But sometimes God let a few of them dots get through to teach some. Show me the scripture that says this. It says it quenches every fiery dot. Well, I'm getting stuck because you got your shield down. Now, here's why this is important. Not like the rest of it wasn't, but say, teach us one more time, Pastor. When I asked everybody what salvation was, you'll start saying faith. But there's a clear distinction then between salvation. If salvation is on the helmet and the shield is faith. Not the same thing, is it? So let's talk about it. Your faith is in salvation. In the salvation that the Lord provided by giving his life and raising from the dead. We got that. But we're talking about a different salvation now. We're talking about this armor and what it serves, what purposes it serves. So the shields of faith, it puts out every fiery dart that the enemy throws. But I feel like I'm getting stuck all the time. Well, because you don't have any faith. I have faith in the Lord. That's not what the shield is talking about. And as we learned today, a lot of what we were calling faith in the Lord wasn't faithful in the real package. So let's talk about this. If the devil throws a fiery dart, you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? And the dart hits me somewhere in my shield, I didn't believe I was protected from that dot. You got it? According to your, be it unto you, right? That's your shield. According to your shield, be it unto you. My shield don't stop depression. Then you got it. My shield don't stop poverty. Then you got it. Well, sickness sometime, well, your shield don't stop that. You decided that. Because faith shield is the part of the package. Watch this close. Watch this close. Where you now are a functioning participant. The other ones, they serve their purposes. The truth, that's the Lord's truth, that's it is what it is. His right standing, his right standing. His helmet, yeah, you play a part in that because, but if your truth and your loins and your is right, that'll be fine. We got that. We cover that. But the shield requires me to invest an opinion. The shield requires me to believe or not believe something. Even not believing is faith. I don't believe God takes care of that, right? I don't believe God wants everybody to be prosperous. I just don't believe that, Pastor. And that's your faith. And what I say to people is, I respect that. I don't argue with them. I say, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I agree with you that he don't want you there. But I'm so glad he wants me there. I'm so glad. I don't know why he liked me better than he liked you, but amen, I take it. I ain't going to fight with you. Let them have it. Right. I stand right there with a person, Father, and they don't believe in prosperity. And I'm in agreement with them. Whatever you was going to give them, bring it to a brother right here. I take it. I receive it on their behalf. I might even help them out, pay their bills a little bit. Listen a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, that's a statement of faith, isn't it? Yeah. People say, no, Pastor, because I know. And they'll get mad with you. You got to go through things. You got to learn. You can't see the sunshine unless there's some rain. So, hold up. So if I never saw rain, I wouldn't be able to see the sunshine? So if I woke up and it was a sunny day, I would go like, what's happening? Who comes up with the stupidity? But they do. But that's what the enemy does. He says, now, based on the fact that you lack truth, and you got more religion than truth, and your salvation helmet ain't blocking nothing because down here has nothing, and your right standing you don't even believe in, your shield is useless. Got nothing. So the enemy's just walking right through your shield, walking right up and delivering it. And I'm going to tell you something funny about that, just that revelation. I remember going through depression many, many moons ago. And I remember having a vision of the devil delivering me a package. And God showed me in the vision, now you're listening to this, that I was angrily and reluctantly still receiving the package. I knew it was him. I knew it was his lie. But I just had to see what was in it. So I would sign for it and open it and look inside and be disgusted at what I seen and then get more depressed. And God said, why don't you just reject the package? Just look at it and say, who's the sender? Yeah, that's okay. I don't receive that. And that's where the phrase began to come from in the church. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. Now people begin to use it wrong. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. Okay, the way you said it, you received it. If you really didn't receive it, you have to get that upset. Now, it's not for me. How many of you are right now, when you hear people come to you and start talking about you got to suffer and stuff, and because of the teaching you said, you go, it ain't even a fight. You don't get offended, right? You don't get mad or nothing, right? Just go, all right. Okay, well, good luck with that, right? That ain't for me. Somebody say it now from the right place. I don't receive that. Say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You see how good that feels? See how good that feels? Surely, only goodness and mercy. Only. I like words like only. Blessings of the Lord come down from the Father on high without variation or shadow of turning. He don't change his mind and say, second thought, I don't like you so much. He said, I send it down. If you receive it, there it is. I just open up the window, just let it all come in. Follow me? It's God. He's a good God. Say, he's a good God. Say, Father, forgive me for not giving you the opportunity to show the full extent of your goodness. Whew, I'm about to shout. Now, I'm not a shouter, but I'm about to shout right now. Whew! Glory. So, your shield puts out every fiery dart. That's what it's for. But it's based on faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can hope for negativity and not know it because your belt is not on. You have no truth. And your helmet is not affixed. You have no protection of what comes to your head and mind. So this thing is important now. My righteousness is of God. Amen? My shield now pulls from these other pieces. Because I know I'm righteous and I'm the righteousness of God, only because of what Jesus did and not me, I feel I have a right to expect a protection that otherwise you don't believe you should expect. Did I lose anybody with that? Anybody need me to explain that a little bit better? Okay, for three people, I'll do it. Your expectation when things go wrong in your life, your expectation is first thought that'll come to your mind. Watch what I'm about to say. I could let y'all say it and you'll say it. Maybe it must be something I did wrong. Maybe it must be some sin in my life. Maybe it must be that. And you start immediately judging yourself worthy of what just went wrong. Right? You immediately start looking for reasons to sign for the package. Must be something wrong with me. Now, stay with me. In some cases, that's true. If the Lord checked you about something and you didn't correct it, and something got through as a result of it, then you can say that. But there's times things go wrong and you can't even think that you did anything wrong and you start blaming yourself. Am I telling the truth? First thought, well, maybe it's some sin. Maybe did God tell you there was some sin? So why are you witch hunting on yourself? I'm going to immediately, let me just tell you this. Ready for this? Love expects the best and believes the best. I'm just going to immediately believe by default that I'm right and that I don't receive it. And then I'll say, Lord, is there something that I need to see? Show me. But I will never say it must be sin in my life anymore. I don't do that. I will never immediately accept blame for something God didn't point out by default. I'll say, nope, the devil's a liar, and my shield puts that dot out. God, unless you show me something different, I'm redeemed. I don't accept it. But I said it, but it didn't leave right away, so I don't care. What difference does it mean if it didn't leave right away? I'm still going to stand my ground. You got to go. Now I might go to God and say, God, what do I need to do a little different to if I'm doing something here? Am I not standing in real faith here? Am I really not believing? Am I confessing something that I really don't believe? Because we might believe something by intellectual assessment. Look at me. We may accept even a biblical truth. Look at me. Look at me. But not here. We can accept the biblical truth right here, but still not have it here. That's from seeking the Lord and looking in his word. That your mind is renewed. You renew your mind by the washing of the water of the word. You cleanse out what the world keeps trying to feed in by feeding in the truth of your spirit. One way is by sitting right here and learning what you learn in the day. Now, you're going to go home. You're never going to think about it the same. The enemy going to try to get you back to the old thinking, but you're going to have to make a decision to believe that again after you've been shown the truth. You have to make a decision. Nah, I'm just going to believe. And he'll put a little pressure on you. You go, you know what? No, I'm just going to just stay here. It just was, I mean, I don't like it, but hey, at least I understood what was going on. And logically, it made sense to me to accept it, so I'm just going to go ahead and accept it. I know that's happened to almost everybody in this room. You know the truth, but then the enemy comes and you say, you know what? I'm going to tell you this. I didn't mean to say all of this today, but I'm going to tell you this. I remember one time when we were homeless, and I was believing for this house. And I was standing. Oh, man, I was believing with all my heart. I mean, I had nothing. I had nothing to do but believe at this point. We didn't have nothing. We were staying at Rainey's house again or wherever we were staying. And I was just believing with all my heart for our house. And I'm standing. I'm confessing. I'm walking around. And I'm talking. I'm speaking it. And I'm going to tell you this. The enemy spoke to me out loud. I never forget this. Never heard it this clear. Always, because he's sneaky, he's always suggestions, little things. But it was loud enough that I was able to stop walking and hear what I heard. And he said to me, I'll make a deal with you. Drop this prosperity thing and I'll stop pressuring you. I'll leave you alone, everything else. He said it. Just drop this believing for houses and all that, and I'll make sure you have a place, find a place to live, and I won't bother you no more. He told me that. Stop this prosperity mess. Nobody in your church is in agreement with you. Just stop it. And I'll leave you alone. First of all, that wasn't a complete enough deal. I don't even know what I leave you alone means, number one. Number two, the devil's a liar, so I'm not listening to anything. But I'm going to tell you what I did. standing in the middle of the street, not in the middle of the traffic street, but on the sidewalk where I stand, I stopped in the middle of the street and I spoke out loud. And that's when the revelation came to me. He always overplays his hand. If you watch him, he always overplays his hand. He always goes a step too far. And I stopped and I said out loud, I got you. I got you. If you're trying to make a deal, you know this is about to go down. Hallelujah. You just blew your cover. I got you now. Boy, I went in harder and stronger and I mean with more fervor than anything. And God has answered. Again and again. I'm telling you, I said at that moment, aha. So that's why you just having a little bit of a tough day. It ain't even that bad. Just things ain't going the way you think they should go. You okay, though. And all of a sudden, a thought will come to you. You should just kill yourself. You go like, what? It ain't that serious. Anybody other than me know what I'm talking about? Yes. Like, you're really not smart. Really? I mean, it's not that even. Kill myself? Because he knew once upon a time you may have listened. See, people think the devil knows your thoughts. He does not. He's not omniscient. God is omniscient. He knows your thoughts. He's not omnipresent. Stop believing the devil's in every place at one time. He is not. He could go from here to there, to there, to there fast, but he is not in every place. That's why he has demons all over. They do his bidding. That's why he has legions and these different denominations of demons that go out and do his work. He can't be in every place at one time like God. Stop believing Satan flows like God. He does not. And Satan doesn't know your thoughts. He throws stuff at you. And if your helmet ain't good, he sees how you respond. And then he says, okay, now I'll move on that. He don't know what you're thinking until you open your fat mouth. You could be panicking on the inside and say, I trust you, Jesus, out your mouth. And he wouldn't know any different. You can be given up, but still say, I'm healed. And the devil don't know. He's not backing up. Oh, shoot, they standing. He don't know.
Hallelujah.
When you open your mouth and you put word to it, that's the revelation I got from Kenneth Copeland a long time ago. Thoughts may come. Thoughts may persist in staying. But thoughts not put into word or action die unborn.
Lord.
Don't put it into words. Don't put it into actions. It'll die. I don't care. I feel real strong about it. Okay. Just. Don't speak it. I feel horrible today. Don't say that. Why you want to speak that? I feel how you feel. My body may not feel right, but you want to know how I feel? From here, I know the Lord is the author and the finisher of my faith. My salvation rests in him. I have right standing in him because I've accepted Christ, and therefore I have a covenant with God, and my God keeps covenant for 1,000 generations. 1,000 will fall at my right hand and 10,000 at my left, but it should not come. But Pastor, when I'm under pressure, it's so hard to say that stuff. Now open the book and read it then, if you can't say it. Just read it. I remember it. I make sure I push it out. And if I slip and say the other stuff, I put it back down. I don't go, well, God, I know what I mean. I'm like, no. Father, I pull that down. That's not what I meant to say. Here's what I mean to say. And I replace it.
Amen.
Pastor, we need to make really a big deal of that like this? Well, you don't have to. But our Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And those who indulge it shall eat its fruit. So your shield of faith is in alignment with your mouth. Is what you say, is what you confess. And well, if you just speak right, listen to me close, but you don't check your source and make sure it's in your source, eventually you will give the devil what he needs. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You can say the right words at the right time, but it's not the words, it's the heart. It's the abundance of the heart that even under pressure, I know people in this room can look at me right now and say, this time I felt like everything was going wrong, but all of a sudden, just this right thing came out my mouth. Somebody know what I'm talking about? I felt, but I wanted to speak wrong, but the spirit just took over and just the right thing just came out. That's how we want to live. We want to be so filled in our belt of truth, Our loins so filled up right that like Pastor Sarah used to say, like a tube of toothpaste. You press it, and what comes under pressure, what comes out is the thing that needs to come out. Righteousness. Bow. Just shoots out my mouth. Press me and you're going to get a righteous statement. These are things that we can believe for, saints. My God. My God, my God, my God. Yeah, I hear you, Clark. So I guess we got another week. Did you learn something? If you learn something, stand your feet and give God some kind of praise. Give him some kind of praise. Just tell him you love him. Say thank you. Say something. Say, God, I appreciate you. God, keep feeding me. Feed me, Lord. Give me what I need to give your people. Give me the words I need to turn people's lives around. Make their lives different forever and ever and ever. Honor this group, Father, that you gave to me. Honor this group that you blessed me with. Bless their hearts and spirits today. We come against every lie and wonder. We come against every fearful thought that's tried to live and reside and stay. We've come against everything that's called them a failure and told them they'll never succeed in this area or that area or the other or whatever that area might be. We speak death to that right now. And I say, Father, right now, we grab a hold of the righteousness, the right standing that belongs to us through Christ Jesus and what he did, not what we did. We become right and we live right because we accept what he did, thereby enabling us to do right. We're not doing right in our flesh. Righteousness comes out of our loin, out of the belt, out of our inner man, and just speaks to us when flesh wants to do what it wants to do. We are anointed to do this thing. We receive it on every level. We don't accept fear. We don't accept doubt. We don't accept any lie from hell. We take every thought and bind it captive and lead it away that seeks to exalt itself above the knowledge of truth of you. We receive that and we thank you for it. In the name of our Savior, Christ Yeshua, we magnify you today. Amen.
Amen
and amen. Amen. Come on, give him praise. It's a good praise.